You know, it's funny, Marvel is here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado. We've been spending a lot of time when we're talking about the Chicago Bulls and moves they need to make and what they're going to do throughout the beginning of free agency and when the NBA draft was coming. And then months before that, it was all about the Bears and the moves they were going to make that would eventually be DJ Moore and Darnell Wright after getting out of that number one slot. And you're looking at the Blackhawks right now after signing and bringing in some veterans because of drafting Connor Bedard. All eyes have kind of settled on what's going on this summer on the north and south side for the Major League Baseball teams here in Chicago. And I want to concentrate on the Cubs right now because as of this recording, they're in the middle of a huge series against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Chicago Cubs are playing the Yankees in New York, and then the Red Sox are coming to Chicago before a series with the Nationals. So some time where the Cubs really need to make some room and need to take 3 or 4 from Milwaukee. But then you see what's going on with a divisional matchup when it comes to the AL East. You have to go back-to-back with the Yankees and Red Sox. This is a telling time for the Chicago Cubs team. And right now, they are 40-45, 7 games back of first place, 2 games back of Milwaukee, which makes this series so huge. And Cincinnati doesn't seem to be slowing down. So my big thing, my big takeaway, my big question to the entire classroom, Marver, is this. What are the Cubs going to do come trade deadline? Should the Cubs be active or should they be aggressive? Should they be the ones making the phone calls or the ones taking the phone calls? This series against Milwaukee was a big deal. The comebacks, being able to hold on to leads, has preserved this season, even if it's just for one day after each game. But Marver, I guess I'm asking to you is, are we now at that DEFCON 9? This is July. If it's going to happen, it has to happen now. Do you think we're going to find out if the Cubs are going to be sellers or buyers by the end of, let's say, the next 7 days?
Well, the next 7 days, possibly. I will say this, though. I don't know about if it was about against Milwaukee protecting leads or losing leads.
Yeah, no kidding.
losing leads to eventually win. And as Pat Yu says, just another series between the Brewers and the Cubs.
You know, hold that thought. Marvin, hold that thought for 1 second. So let's talk about that. I believe it was the Monday game before the holiday where the Cubs lost and they gave up the lead to the Brewers after being up, I think it was 6-0. I think that was the moment where all Cub fans, all baseball fans really had to kind of coming to their creator moment with this specific season that that was the turning point. Had the Cubs gone on and lost the next game against the Brewers on the 4th and then on the 5th, like, that was a turning point for this Cubs team one way or another. How did you feel after that Monday loss specifically?
Yeah. Well, it seemed like they were definitely going to be sellers. Mm-hmm. And then by Tuesday, they might have been buyers again. And the crazy thing is, not to harp on it, but they only play the Brewers 13 times this year. They play 7 in Milwaukee and 6 in Chicago. And so that even makes it more important with regard to the division where, you know, you can be below 500 and be in the race, as we've harped on. So it's kind of crazy. You know, when they get to the end of July, I mean, they're going to have the break, except for Swanson and Stroman and Steele. They're going to have a break for a few days, and then they'll be back at it with a rare Friday night game at Wrigley against the Red Sox. How do you like that?
It's a heck of a Friday night.
Yeah, I don't know how they got the rule broken. It's funny too because even when they had the special Peacock game, they played that at noon, which is later than what Peacock usually asks for. They ask for 10 a.m. So there's definitely some power in the Wrigley Field hierarchy, or even the neighbors. To still have that rule in effect with, I guess, no Sunday morning for the churchgoers and no Friday night for the congregation goers. That's got to be it. I can't, you know, it's the only explanation, as I recall, it was actually the original thinking. But in any event, to get to the end of July, you know, let's say they're, for example, throw out a number, 45-55. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could still be easily within 5-6 games of first place, which makes this a conundrum in my view. I mean, there seemed to be no doubt that they were in a position where they're going to trade Bellinger and Stroman, and they still could do that and improve the team oddly, but those are two key guys if they're going to actually be in a position for the number one spot in the division, which is the only hope for playoffs, obviously. in the National League. I mean, you got to feel sorry for the Phillies or the Mets in the National League, and even sorry for the Red Sox in the American League, who will have a better record than the Central Division winners, which is insane. But be that as it may, I mean, they're set up pretty well. I mean, after all, I mean, Stroman and Steele have been very solid as starters, and they've gotten great contributions, too, from everybody except for Tatum in the starting rotation. So, and they sent down Wesniewski to stretch him out a bit and that. So it's the pitching situation from the starters. They've had a lot of quality starts. I mean, that's been the strength. And the bullpen has been terrible. I guess Alzolay is the official closer, but it's somewhere between the starters and Alzolay. It's been pretty pathetic, wouldn't you say?
I 100% agree. And that's why it breaks my heart. And it's something I've been saying since February, since March, that I don't think Cody Bellinger is long for the Chicago Cubs. I think in their dream scenario, best case scenario, this was a team that was going to win the division and he was going to pass the baton to Pete Crow Armstrong. But I just think the way injuries have played out, the way the start of his season was, if he heats up in the next 3 weeks, I think he'll be a commodity for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball. But no one like Marcus Stroman right now, the value that he has for the Chicago Cubs on so many different levels. This is the problem that the Cubs are going to have with Marcus Stroman. He had a wonderful, almost an all-star starter type of first half of the season. And he now has a player option going into next year, which means he's more than likely going to opt out. He's making about $21 million that he's due next season. He could easily ask for $28, $29, $30 million to start next year from any team. And there's going to be a team that offers him to him at 31 years old. I think the Cubs right now are in an actual wait-and-see place, which is actually probably more frustrating for fans because we have to wait and see. They have to wait and see. Look at the series that we have coming up, right? We talked about this huge series against the Brewers, and we'll see how that plays out by the time you listen to this on WCPT. But look at this. You have the Yankees and the Red Sox. Okay, fun matchup. The way the new schedule works out should be entertaining for the faithful and for Major League Baseball fans. But the real stuff, you have Washington. So that's a series you need to win. But then you're playing the Cardinals. You're playing the White Sox. You play the Cardinals again. And then when August 1st comes along, your first series after the trade deadline is in the middle of a series, a four-game stint against the Cincinnati Reds. And then, oh, by the way, the Atlanta Braves are waiting for you. So the Cubs really are in that position where they don't know where this is going. They don't know what this team is. I think you and I and a lot of fans have made up our mind. We think this is a team that has really stellar pitching, has confidence in their closer now, but at the very least, I think as bad as their bullpen can be, I don't think they ever get rattled. I don't think they're the type of team that gets shook. I just think they either have bad or good performances, and that's just the volatility of a bullpen. And this team doesn't have power. They don't have any power anywhere in this lineup. From Suzuki to Bellinger, they're relying on Mancini's and all these different guys in the roster, and they don't have a thumper. So I think we have an idea of what the DNA of this team is. But when you're actually looking at what the front office has to look at, and they have to evaluate all the pros and cons of this roster, I think they really are in the unfortunate position of wait and see. Had the Cubs swept the Cardinals in London, we're in a totally different ball game, a totally different space, I believe. I mean, at that point, you're only a game behind in the division, and you've buried St. Louis, and you probably don't go on a huge losing streak after that. But there has that moment. There are these moments now where you look at the Cubs, and you're waiting to see where the fork in the road is. And I thought maybe this past Monday was that. But even the way that we're staring at it right now, they're right in this thing, while still having the option of trading a bunch of their veteran players and waiting for their minor league system. So, I don't know, Marver. I do believe this is an actual situation where the front office does have to just wait and see.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, it looked like everything was set up perfectly in London with Stroman pitching the second game and the blister situation, and he got hit and the whole thing. Plus, maybe whatever it was, jet lag, that led to the sweep by the Phillies at home was unfortunate. So, and then they righted the ship a bit against Cleveland. But I don't know. It's hard to say what's going on. But I know, and now I understand why Bellinger's had a resurgence now that he's going to marry the SI swimsuit supermodel.
Hey, man.
Probably helping his.
Hey, whatever makes whatever makes the Incredible Hulk turn, right?
Yeah, but there was no doubt that the plan seemed to be that he was going. But at the moment, it's like I say, it's a conundrum with the darn the beautiful scheduling this year, mm-hmm. where you play every American League team, and the East is dominant, in both leagues, and the Centrals are not. The West have their weak points, obviously, with the Oakland A's. Even the Washington Nationals are not doing very well, and the Rockies. Whatever happened to Chris Bryant, by the way?
It's crazy, huh? How I think the only at this point, and it's just a quick tangent, but you look, and it has to do with roster, right? Like, if the Cubs front office had done what a lot of fans wanted to do, where they wanted to keep Wilson Contreras, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, and Javi Baez, they wouldn't even be in the position they're at right now, where you could see into the future. You'd be holding on to a bunch of contracts, and you'd be afraid that they would never get out of baseball hell. The frustrating part, right, the counter to that is, you should never be a team that is stifled because you have contracts on your roster. You're the Chicago Cubs. You're not the Kansas City Royals, right? Like, you should be able to maneuver yourself around bad contracts, but I do think they did dodge a bunch of bullets, besides Kyle Schwarber and maybe Rizzo, but I do think they did dodge a bunch of bullets without signing some of these dudes. But, and let me ask you this, we talk about that 16 team, Kyle Hendricks. I mean, if you're like, I don't know, just looking at the standings right now, just really quickly as I'm going through Major League Baseball, I'm going to go to the American League. I mean, if you're the Rangers, right, or the Astros, aren't you a team right now, let's say like the Rangers or Astros, who's looking at a team like the Cubs and looking at what they have at the catcher position, what they have at the pitching rotation, what they have in the outfield? I think that is where if you're looking for a partner for this Cubs team, let's say they don't necessarily want to, you know, blow up the entire thing, but they want to just make sure they have as many chips as they can for next season. I think those are the potential landing spots. And players like Stroman, Bellinger, some of the catchers, and Kyle Hendricks, those are the kind of places you could circle them into.
Absolutely. No, Kendrick, they showed in the Cleveland series how Hendricks and Ross and Ramirez were the only people left at Francona from the 2016 World Series. So that was quite telling. Now, Hendricks has now been pitching like 5-inning no-hitters almost every time out. So he's another one that is appealing. And, he's getting a little bit older. So that would be an interesting thought to part with him. You know where the thumper was for a year and a half? Mr. Wisdom at third base, which is now a position along with first base that's kind of a problem for them. I mean, the outfield seems pretty set, and it's short in the second and catching. But the corners have been a little bit dicey, you know, with what's been going on. I mean, they obviously have been trying all kinds of people at third, and then at first base. I mean, they put Bellinger there when he came back from the injury, but other than that, they have a great prospect there at the moment. But I don't know. I mean, they had Mervis there for a while, and Nervous Mervis, and they now they've come back. Well, it's Jones, is that who's there now? In any event, those have been the spots. And that was the thumper. I mean, he was actually, Wisdom was the leading home run getter for a year from like a May of, whatever it was, 22 to, from when he started, when he first came up after they did trade Bryant back in August of 21. And then for a solid year, he was the home run leader in the league, I think, overall. And he had the rookie home run record, took it away from Bryant. So I don't know where his power went, but now he's back from being on the injured list, and maybe he can step into third base, which would be a big help, because he seemed like a great guy for the future at third base at one point, but not so much anymore.
You know, it's funny you bring up a Patrick Wisdom, because I think he along with Frank Schwindel were kind of the poster boys of a bad Cubs team, but guys who tried hard. And I think more often than not, we knew they weren't going to end up as starters in most teams. I think for Patrick Wisdom, it was a really nice story. I think we've seen the regression for Patrick Wisdom. I think that's what it was. This was a career minor leaguer who had an amazing, amazing story playing for the Cubs, and then kind of came back to reality, or at the least it had the natural regression. And I think that's kind of the same thing that I don't know if the Cubs are afraid of, if other teams are afraid of, or it's just a fandom thing, but the idea of Marcus Stroman, these numbers are so great. We know he's an awesome pitcher to begin with, but these numbers and the way he's been pitching is so phenomenal, besides a couple hiccups, that the regression has to happen, and that you have to assume if you're ever going to strike, you got to strike when the iron's hot, and that's this moment right now. And I think, speaking of striking while the iron's hot, you know, we talk about third base and first base with Matt Mervis and what's happening at third base right now. I think the Cubs have to go all in on Christopher Morel. he's not an outfielder. He doesn't have a good first step. Just because he's a good athlete doesn't mean he could do the skill the right way. But we do know that he's been thrown into the hot corner, a tough position, and for the most part, he's been okay at 24, 25 years old. Like, I think you have to start making your decisions and live with them. Because at some point, you're going to, in theory, you're going to have the team that you're ready to go all in and try to win a real run at a playoff. And I don't think you can be doing it by rotating guys at third base and in left field and in at first base. Like, you need to have guys out there that you can rely on. And I think Christopher Morel, compared to some of these other young stars that we've seen from the Cubs, kind of shows that the moment isn't too big for him. He may make dumb mistakes, but that's dumb mistakes any young player is going to make. But I think if I'm the front office and you're not sure or you don't really think you're going to make a run, then the next 3 months of the season, it has to be Morel at third base.
Yeah, well, I, you know, the other option would be have Morel as a DH every day if they're able, if Wisdom makes a comeback. Mm. The outfield set, I mean, you know, in the days of Madden, they rotated everybody through different positions. Mm. Happ was actually an infielder at second base. He played some third base. But I'll tell you what, he sure can nail him at the plate from left field.
No kidding. No kidding. I mean, you talk about a season saver, right? Like, Ian Happ saved their season as of this recording, even if it's just for one more week, right? Even if it's just for one more day, Ian Happ saved their season. And I think if you look at guys like Ian Happ and Nico Horner and Swanson, and then you start looking around like, what if Miguel Amaya is actually a thing? After all this time, what if they found their catcher that they're comfortable with? Like, there is a lot to like about this team, but I do think while we were talking about similarities between the 15 team and this team doesn't have a playoff push in them. I don't think they do. I don't think that we're going to be surprised come September and they're going to go on a crazy streak and they're going to make a run to the NLCS. I don't think they're going to do that. But I do think they have a lot of nice pieces. I do think that they're a team that's going to be highly competitive next year, and not just competitive because of a bad division, but because they have the talent on there. And the run differential, they're the best team in the NL Central by run differential by a large margin, and they're 7 games back, which just goes to show how hot Cincinnati is and how bad the Cubs have played at certain times.
Well, you know, the Pirates were in first place early in the year. It doesn't matter when you play a team. The Cubs dominated the Pirates when they played them. They've done okay against the Cardinals and the Brewers. They haven't had a lot of games against the Reds. And with again, just 13 games against each of these teams, as opposed to 19 last year, and to win a division, those games are extra important. I think they're honestly almost twice as important in previous years.
Oh, yeah.
Because first place is the only place you're going to need to be or have a chance to be in the playoffs the way it stands right now.
I totally agree. And that's why I think they really have to consider what they have as bargaining chips, what they have on the table, and the talent they have on this roster. And they have to make the best decision for this team, not just this year, but for the next few years. And while I'm a huge Marcus Stroman fan, and I hope they sign him to a 3-year extension and that he gets paid, and he's just one of a few awesome starters that the Cubs are going to be offering each team each and every day to try and win an NL Central for years to come. I do think if there's an offer that they can't refuse, they have to take it. And I think it's the same thing for Cody Bellinger. I think it's the same thing for Kyle Hendricks. Whoever it is, there are not many untouchables in this Cubs team right now. And if you find something, if you find something worthwhile, you got to go for it. But Marvelous, any final thoughts on the week that was and the week that will be for Cubs baseball?
I've been watching the Brewers this week, and William Contreras might have been a band replacement for Wilson.
Look, you talk about when we got at the end of the season, and we're going to talk to Paul about this at the end of the season, the craziness, the dysfunction, the whatever weirdness that was happening in St. Louis with that signing and that marriage and the way the pitching rotation was with Wilson and Wilson not knowing which pitcher had. Like, that's going to be an amazing story by the end of the season. But but you know what is an even more amazing story? Those of you who visited our friends over at Sheets and Giggles and experience the amazing mattress and sheeting. Marvelous. What is it that people can find when they go onto Sheets and Giggles and they search the Sports Cubicle Sports from the Couch?
You know, you can almost smell the delicious eucalyptus right through the screen when you're on the internet. It's amazing.
Not only is it good for your soul, it's good for your body, and it's good for your night at sleep. Check out the eucalyptus sheeting and mattressing. It is all the relaxation you will need this summer season to get the rest that you need. Just go to Sheets and Giggles, use the promo code, the Sports Cubicle, Sports from the College, for 15% 20% off. Let us know your thoughts. What do you think the Cubs are going to do? Are they going to be buyers? Or are they going to be sellers this trade deadline? Who would you trade and who would you keep? We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. We're on YouTube at The Sports Cubicle. Everywhere else in the universe at Sports From The Couch. And, of course, check out the SoundCloud for WCPT if you want to hear the entire show. That's SoundCloud.com, WCPT 820. For the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. For Devin Tingle. For Paul Shivari, I'm Mike Mercado.